Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to Reconnect My Heart Podcast, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our hearts apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our hearts back to the way He originally made us. I am your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad y'all are able to join us. If you have any questions, comments, if you just want to listen to the show, feel free to call me at 516-453-9118. That's 516-453-9118. Didn't realize I had my guitar in the background. But if you want to see the video version of Reconnect My Heart, you can go to reconnectmyheartpodcast.com. You'll be able to see the video version. And also, just in case you want to listen to it on any podcast platform, we are available on all podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, you name it, we are available. Just type in Reconnect My Heart Podcast or Brother Prater. You'll be able to link on. I thank y'all for y'all patience. You know, when you get ready to have a word, they're never going to always try to throw some monkey wrench to throw off everything. But I thank God that God blessed us to be able to have everything working. How you doing, Miss Rochelle? I'm so glad that this day we have this very special guest. First of all, happy June. And the month of June, we celebrate Father's Day on the third Sunday. And so what I try to do leading up to the third Sunday, I like to try to have some type of theme leading up to Father's Day where we can be able to speak to the men. Now, we know there may be some young ladies that may be listening, but I want you to know we are looking at the male gender. Now, just in case there may be some things that may be said, we want you to know that this is in love. Also, what we want to do, and we want to see this world turn right side up, we got to first start with the men. And so with that, I felt the need to have this young man. I've been wanting this young man to come on the air for so long. And so now I have him. And this is basically just a conversation that we've had for many years. I've known him practically half of my life, over half my life. Went to school with him, worked with him. And not just a great man, not just a great father, a great husband, but most importantly, a great man of God. And so we're going to have this episode called A Conversation with Two Dads. And we have a very special guest. He's known in the Christian rap industry as Swift Witness. But he's my friend and soon will be yours, our very own Mr. Derek C. Richardson. How you doing today, sir?
God bless you, Brother Charles. It's about time. Can y'all hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. Say something.
How you doing? How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you now. I got you. I was so focused in getting ready to start the show. I've got to chime you in. But how you doing today, sir?
I am blessed, Brother Charles. I am blessed. I appreciate everything you said because we are indeed friends and been friends a long time. We go a long ways back as teenagers in high school, all the way up to fatherhood, which is what we're going to be discussing tonight. So I really appreciate you having me on, and I thank God for your ministry. And I just feel privileged that you had me on tonight. So you lead the way, and let's let the Holy Spirit say what He has to say.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I'll share with y'all. First of all, let me do this. Just in case people may not know Mr. Richardson's background, if you don't mind, kind of share with those who may be watching or listening a little bit about yourself.
All right. Okay. I'll go back. You want me to go back as far as before my being born again? I can go back that far.
Sure.
Well, you know, I was raised in a Christian home, raised up in Dallas, in Oak Cliff, Texas. Carter High School, Elementary, D.A. Hussey Middle School, all the way to Carter High School. Somewhere within that time, I found the skills of being a rapper, that I could rap. And it was teachers that always told me I could write really well. But I never really took that as anything. You know, when you're young and you're a kid, you don't, you know, a teacher tell you can write, you don't think much about that. You know, you're more off into the sports and other things like that. But I literally found out that I did have a writing skill. And so I started writing, and I began to rap. And I'm going to fast forward. I don't want to go through too much. But in high school, that's where I found out that GIF brought a lot of attention, you know, because I was pretty good at it. Around that time, 16, 17 years old, going to the clubs here around here in Dallas, and end up meeting who some may know as Vanilla Ice. Back in the day, his name was just Robert. And his rap name was Vanilla MC at the time. So we met at an actual club where we were all in a contest. We were in a contest against each other. He ended up winning the contest. It's a lot goes with that story. And I ended up writing for him for just a little while back in the day. And while I was doing my writing, I was doing my performing. I was up under, I had a contract. I was on a small record label. But in that time, God began to deal with me about my soul salvation. Now, I'm saying soul salvation now, but we know as youngsters back then, we didn't know. We knew something was tugging on us, but it was God that was tugging on me. And long story short, again, the Lord finally brought me in right at the year 1995. I never forget, I was heading to the studio to go record a song, and the wheel came off on my car. And I had just had a brand new paint job, brand new tires, brand new rims, all of that. And got up to that point, God had already been dealing with me about giving my life to him. And I was running like so many of us do. And I never forget that night. God used a young brother at the telephone. I know a lot of people listening, if there's some young ones, they won't remember having a, you know, you remember, Charles, you put a quarter in the telephone. You remember I had to call my mother to come help me out. And I knew at that point, I knew that was just God dealing with me. He was dealing with me about giving my life to him. And it wasn't long after that I actually did give my life to the Lord. And for about the first two to three years, that was back when, you know, when you raised in the church, you know, there's a lot of tradition, there's a lot of religion. And I gave up rap music altogether. But after about two or three years of seeking the Lord and really consecrating and making him my first, making him first in my life, then God began to reveal to me that I didn't give you that gift in vain. You may have been using it in the world, but now it's time for you to use that same gift for my glory. And that's when I got into the gospel hip hop scene. I've released two CDs, but many singles. And God has also blessed me to even write a book about the end times. And I'm just enjoying what God is doing in my life right now. So up to this point, I'm literally have a wonderful family, wonderful wife, wonderful children on the evangelist field whenever God calls. And tonight I said all that to build up to what we're going to be talking to tonight. Me and my wife have 5 children together, and there is nothing like growing into your fatherhood. There's nothing like growing into your fatherhood. That is the very first. I've learned that the father in the home is the identity of the whole household. A father in the home is the identity of the whole household. I've learned that the father must be the first to set the standards. The fathers must be the first to protect. The father must be the first to provide. He must be the first, actually, to love. He's first. He's the first one. So it makes him the identity for the whole household. So that's what we're here to talk about tonight. And I don't know if Brother Charles, I don't know if you got, you know, got questions lined up or how you want to do this, but let's roll.
Yes. You know, and you brought that in beautifully, because I wanted people to know your background, and especially I'll say this, even when I was getting to wrestling, I always talk to people about the wrestling, and I was going to have a tag team partner, and my tag team partner was actually him.
Amen. Yes, it was. It would have been. Yes, it was.
Yeah, and the funny thing was, we were young, we were in high school, and now coming out of high school, what I remember, I don't know how it happened, but I end up coming over to your mom's house when you were there, and you spoke about, we talked as men, and that's the reason why I wanted to make sure to let people know this is a conversation that we've always had throughout the years. And I think a lot of time, us as guys, we don't really have the kind of conversation where we could be real, we could be transparent as believers.
Yes.
And what we're talking about, even before we became fathers, so that way you can understand, so that way when we talk about our current role, you have a better understanding. But
amen.
I remember being over there at your mom's house that night, and you were sitting on the couch, and as you begin to start talking, we were just being real. And of course, like I said, we grew up in church. We church kids, PK kids, all that stuff. And for us to be able to look at, man, the struggles that we had in our singleness. Now, we were doing the right thing, serving God, and seeking for love the right way.
Amen.
The right way. And so eventually, like I said, that conversation you had with me, it was like so impactful. And then fast forward, years later, I saw you. I was driving off of Camp Wisdom and Polk, and I saw a preacher just preaching in the street. And I just saw it. As I got closer, I listened and I heard, but then I looked and I saw it was you. And what the Lord had me to do, not to interrupt you, but to go to Church of Chicken, get you something, give it to you. Because I did not want to speak to my friend, but I felt the need to bless the man of God.
Wow.
Fast forwarding, you going to, I believe it was, first I knew you worked at Blockbuster, for those who remember, in the 80s, Blockbusters, and then you moved to California, and I felt the need to continue to keep in contact with you, because I saw great potential that was beyond wrestling. That was beyond, actually, not just to wrestling in the physical, but little did I know until now, wrestling in the spiritual realm, as well as wrestling for the lives and purposes of us as men and fathers. And so, long story short, after seeing you there and then ran into you at Luby's, and at the time, you had already gotten married, I had gotten married, and at the time, we actually just got married, didn't know that we were married.
Yeah.
Around
yeah.
And then a couple of years later, I end up running to you, and I saw at the time, without going to a whole lot of detail, there was a point where our lives intertwined, where we end up becoming single or getting ready to become single.
Right.
And what I saw you have always been a man that loved. And you've always been consistent in your love. That's one thing I always saw. And blessedly, I knew your brothers. I knew the older brother. I knew your baby brother. But it was something about you. You had that demeanor where you gave grace even to those that were supposed to be your enemy.
Wow.
Exhibited grace. And the reason why I said supposed to be your enemy, because they might have been your enemy, but you didn't treat them like your enemy. You didn't even label them as your enemy. They couldn't stand you. They were trying to hurt you. But you always gave grace. And so I looked at you, and as I began to even know you more, I remember you in your singleness and raising. Now you had King and Mello.
Uh-huh.
And you said you will always be a worshiper. And when I was single, along with you, what I said was not just me being able to just be around you even more, but make sure that my son saw your children, because mm-hmm. you raised some children that were so sweet. They saw their father in worship. You would praise and magnify God with your children. Whenever somebody would come to your house, it was like a church. It was the atmosphere was so free. And I said, I want my son to see healthy men. Number one, healthy children, but healthy men being worship. And it was very rare that us as single men to be able to do that. And along with you helping me in my season of singleness, when it came down mm-hmm. to dating, mm-hmm. you watched my life. Mm-hmm. You being there more than just to be an ear. You became a voice. And I looked at it, so many guys that did not have that.
Right.
And so that's why to me, and this is me being a little selfish, it was so important for everything I went through for me to have you on. So just like you ministered to me, you can minister to those around me that may be watching or listening. Because the words and the example that you set as a single saved man, you never lowered your godly standard.
Mm.
And that's why I wanted to let people know, yes, you can be saved, you can do the right thing, and still be single without jeopardizing your salvation nor your morality.
Yeah, that's right.
And I always said, when I would come by over there, to be honest with you, we could have played dominoes and checkers. We could have did that. But the conversations, people could have wrote books.
People
conferences over the conversations that we had. If they were a fly on the wall or on the table,
right.
I know for a fact that people could have been saved and delivered. And also, before I forget, I have to put this out there. Right before my son and I were part y'all home, we were always, and this is men, we single men with our kids, we always had a word of prayer.
Always.
So pray for me and my family, and I will pray for you and your family. And like I said, we were single men. And so with that, with all that that was said, you have the right hand of fellowship to even expound or even explain or whatever the Lord lay upon you, even just pertaining to that. And for me to watch your walk now, it's kind of like telling the ending somewhere in the beginning, but I have to say now, beautiful family, beautiful wife. She's like my spiritual sister and my accountability partner. And I don't mind her putting her face in my face. I don't mind because I know it's in love.
Right.
But for the men that have gone through the journeys of their singleness, and especially a father raising kids.
Yeah.
First, I have to say, man, it is possible. That's an example right here. This young man that's on the air right now, he is an example. But just in case someone feel like, well, they don't know my struggle, he ain't had nothing going on in his life where it made him feel like God abandoned him or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just in case somebody may be feeling that way, I wanted to open up the floor for you to share whatever the Lord placed upon your heart.
Man, that was so much. And I really appreciate it, Charles. It's just to hear you go back and talk about all those truths. I mean, because the only thing I could think of when you were talking is how the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And it's amazing how we both were going through at the same time as single men, and we were raising our children. And the first thing I want to say to those who may be listening is, untraditionally, it is not easy. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy. But the grace of God was with us. God knew at that time in my life, I needed Charles. He knew at that time Charles needed me, because we were both raising our children. And when when men are raising children, first of all, I just want to say that, can a man raise a child? Yes, he can. But we know that that's not God's intentions for the family. His intentions was for a mother and a father, because there's two different impartations that comes from a mother, and there's an impartation that comes from a father. And a mother has more of she can nourish. A father can nourish, but not quite like a mother can nourish. But so if you ever notice when women have children and they have babies, when they're in the grocery store, at the bank, at the market, wherever they are, they can hold that baby on their hip. You know, we're used to seeing a mother holding a baby on the hip. If she got to stand in line 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, wherever she may be, she may switch her hip every now and then. I found out through raising my children, as raising a young girl who's now a young lady, and my son, who's now a young man, when I would have to carry my children, and I'm a big guy, I used to wonder, how in the world do women hold these babies on their hip like this? I'm switching hips every 60 seconds when I would be carrying my children. And God taught me something through that. He taught me that because it wasn't planned for the man to nourish in that way. A woman is not only designed for it, her body is designed for it. Her patience is designed for it. So if you notice, a mother can go over and over. She can go back and forth with her children. She can give grace here and there. But a father, grace doesn't last as long. Because a father, his intentions is to provide, protect, and cover and love those children. So I learned very early on as a single father, and seeing Charles in the same position, that we really needed grace. We really needed the grace of God. We really needed the love of God. and the strength of God. That's what I'm looking for. We needed the strength of God, because when you're dealing with children and raising children from diapers, that is a load. Now you've heard mothers say, "Oh, I'm tired. Oh, man, I've been doing so much. I'm tired." But you see them right back doing this, that, and the other. It's different with a man. When a man gets tired and exhausted from raising children and nourishing the children the best that he can, what happens is, because that particular position wasn't meant for that man, for the man to carry all of that, it's not just an physical exhaustion, it's a spiritual exhaustion, because your children pull not only just your physical, but they pull on your spirit. They pull on your spirit. And so a man wasn't designed to play both roles. A woman wasn't designed to play both roles. Man wasn't designed, especially the man. So watching Charles, and I'm watching him and he's watching me. And I watched you, Charles, how you were with your son every week, all through the week, every week, even though we had different circumstances where I had my children full time. It was just like you had yours full time because you always had him. A real man who worked the situation out where he could have his son more than just regular visitation. A man who fought for more than just regular visitation. No, I need to see my son more than just this. I need to see my child more than just this standard, you know, visitation. For those who know about court and visitation, I watched this man fight to get more time with his son, and he got it, and he did it. And that's just the God. People thought that I wasn't going to have my children. They didn't think I was going to get my children going through court. And I told people, well, God told me different. I know the way that it works. So I was a man who had the grace and strength of God to fight for my children and end up with my children, not just 50-50 or whatever they call it, but sole custody, because I had to fight for my children knowing they would be in better hands. Now, we're not here to, you know, bash on exes or nothing like that. But when you're spiritual and you love God, like I see my brother love God, my brother was able to win a battle in court, which is a whole different story, a whole nother teaching, because that's a principality that we're dealing with in the courts. As far as men going to court, that is a stronghold principality that men have to deal with. And you definitely have to have God with you. And when you win any kind of leverage in court as a man, that means God is definitely with you. And I've seen you, Brother Charles. I saw you fight. I saw you get more than just regular custody. And I saw you with your son. You would bring him to the house and our kids would just play and run. They would run themselves raggedy. They would just run themselves raggedy. And I remember going out, taking them to the parks, taking them out to eat so they could get to know each other. They could be around. I wanted my son and daughter around a godly man as well, somebody who they could see the love of God in. You know, this is before my wife came, but it was important that they was able to see who a man of God looked like, act like, talk like, walk like, worship like, praise like, pray like. I needed my children to know, no, daddy, he's not the only one. There's other men out there just like daddy. And that was Charles Prater. And I think in this time that we're living in, men need to know that are going through situations that seems difficult when it comes down to their children, that God has your back. All God needs you to do is be a man and stand up, no matter what the situation looks like. Just stand up in that situation. And if you stand up, God will, all you got to do, like they always say, a man, all he has to do is take a step. God will take two. Long as you're stepping, God will vindicate you. God will strengthen you. God will lead you. God will guide you on how, even if you feel like you don't know how to raise your children, all you have to do is take the step. And God will lead you, guide you on how to raise your children. And I want to say this to a point. You mentioned worship. Worship is something that when I first gave my life to God, I fell in love with, because true worship, we know the definition of worship means to serve God. And then there is a servanthood of worship, which is a reverence of worship, meaning when you bow down before God, hallelujah, when you bow down before him. And I wanted my children, this is for any man, woman, whoever listening, men typically don't like to cry in front of their children. What I tell you, I cried a long time ago. I've been crying since they was born. When they was in my ex-wife's womb, I was crying. I was worshiping over her pregnant stomach. I was worshiping over her, singing to my children while they was in her womb, singing to them. Well, and I can't sing, but you let me get into a deep worship and then the spiritual vocals will come out. And I'm going to tell you how powerful that is. As my ex, we were in church one Bible study night, and the pastor put me up to teach that night. And on that particular night, we were worried about the child, about my son. We were worried about him because he wouldn't move. And we would go to the doctor for checkups. He would not move. At this time, she was about 6 or 7, about 6 months. Six, I don't know, somewhere in there. But he wouldn't move. But one night while I was ministering on a Wednesday night at a Bible study, as soon as I got on the mic, my ex began to point at me and do her eyes all kind of ways. And I'm like, she's trying to tell me something. I didn't know what it was. She did it through the whole message. When the message was over, I went and sat down. I said, "What is it?" She said, "Ever since you touched that mic and your voice went over this whole church, he has been jumping ever since he heard your voice, and he didn't stop moving till your message was over." That is how powerful our worship is. That's how powerful our worship is. Not only that, he knew his father's voice from the womb. From the womb, he knew my voice. He heard my voice for the lack of better words, he heard it in a loud way, in a way he had not heard it. And he was not moving until he heard my voice. So when I say worship, I allow my children to, when I go in the room and it was just me and my kids for years and they would be around playing, I would go in the room and keep the door open and I would just go into worship. Just go into worship. And they got used to it. They learned that, okay, daddy's going to go worship. Your children need to see you worship. The men that are out there, your child needs to see you worship God. They need to see you lay prostrate before God. They need to be taught how to defend themselves. They need to be taught how to maneuver in life when they're dealing with different issues in life, when things and individuals are coming against them. But they also need to know how to lay down, prostrate before God, and give God their heart, their soul, their mind, and let God's presence overshadow them so that they can learn that there's nothing wrong with crying. There's nothing wrong with shedding tears. As long as you're shedding tears for the right reason. I just wanted to say that, Brother Charles. I wanted to say that.
Yes, you know, as I was listening, and you bring back so many memories, and you know, with having children, and especially, you know, we working in the jail, I see the impact that fathers have on children, and they don't really know or understand the impact that they can make. And, you know, I've seen fathers where the fathers are behind bars and the mothers have to bring the kids up, and they showing the girls, excuse me, they showing the children, hey, you better listen to what your daddy said. You better listen to what I tell you. I'm gonna tell your daddy. And the father's like, hey, didn't I tell you? But the father is talking to the kid through the glass, you know? Yes. And what I see a lot of times, yes, there are a lot of times where mother and father is divorced or broken up or whatever. But I always say, even if y'all are not together, that does not mean that y'all should raise the child divided wise. Or sometimes I know there may be some differences or whatever, but one thing, and this is my goal. When I became a single father, my goal was I wanted to minimize as much hurt as I possibly could, and I would rather take it by myself instead of having my son to feel it. You know, right. I didn't care if I had to drive every day to see my son. I would rather drive and see my son every day and me spend more gas, more time, less sleep, than to have my son feel the void of the absence of his daddy. You know,
right.
And you know, us being daddy kids, you know, I remember your father, you know, with that black leather jacket, you know,
and
and he had this little sense of humor, you know, that really just it was so awesome, you know, and for us to be able to now be a father. And for us to now be a father, and we like, you know, we know how we felt about our father. And so now we become fathers and we want to protect. I mean, and I can say this about you. We're not only providers, but we're protectors.
That's right. Protectors,
you know,
that's right.
And for us to be able to now have kids.
Yeah.
And they love us, man. To receive that love from my child, man.
Amen.
It's beautiful, and it makes us have the responsibility of now being single. We want to make sure that we allow God to help us, even to come down to the courtship. Because if we didn't have our children, we wouldn't be thinking logically oftentimes when it pertains to trying to look for love. And just me being honest.
Right.
But now we have a child and we looking and they are dependent upon us, where we make a sound decision in creating a healthy environment within a home. And
absolutely.
A lot of time there are some guys, I don't know, a lot of guys, they get bad mouth or there's some sorry fathers. We know that there are some guys that are not doing their part. But then there are others where there are guys that are doing their part. They're not getting the acknowledgement. There are some guys that I've seen where, yeah, they have made the choice of choosing someone that did not have their best interest at heart. But then they're still trying to provide. And it seemed like the system is knocking them back and forth. But if you want to share something, you can.
Yeah, as you was talking, it's important. It's very important that, back to what I was saying, you were saying that receiving that love from my children. But what I was thinking about was they are able to now see us be the men of God we're supposed to be and what a man of God is, that they may grow. See, it's for us to impart that same spirit into them. That same spirit we ought to impart into them. So that, because when you look at the church, not just the church, but when you look at the world as a whole and you look at the divorce rate in the United States, not just in the secular, but in the church, the divorce rate is very high. So when you have a very high divorce rate, that's when children begin to wonder, daddy loves me, mama loves me, but why are they not together? So that's when it really takes a man. A mother needs to do her part as well, but it really takes that man to stand up, not to dog his, not to dog his ex, talk bad about the ex, but for him to let those children know, break it down the way God would want him to break it down, and to understand why the separation happened. Now, we understand that sometimes some things are too deep to get into. They may not understand at this time, but it takes a man to speak to the children are going to first. The man is first anyway. He's first. So the children are going to, if you've been doing your job from the beginning, if a separation happened, the children are going to be looking at the man first anyway. They're going to be looking at the daddy. Why did this happen? How did this happen? And so it takes for a man to be able to speak to his children and to, from his heart, speak the truth, whatever that truth may be, whether it hurts, whether it's painful, whether you were in the wrong about some things. It takes that man to give truth to the child, because what happens is when you don't do that, you have children that grow up with any reason to separate, any reason to divorce. Well, daddy did it, mama did it, and I never really knew why. But if that man stands up and lets that child know this is what happened, God doesn't approve of divorce. The Bible says that God hates divorce. He didn't say there was not going to be divorce. He knows there's going to be divorces. And in some instances, God severs people depending on the heart. As Jesus said, some people harden their heart. Sometimes God himself has to sever relationships because of the hardening of the heart and what one spouse intentions is, and their intentions is not changing, not being right, not doing right, and actually hurting the other spouse, including the children. It can get very deep. So when you were saying that about getting the love from my children, at the same time, a man has to be man enough to speak to the child, even through a separation, why it happened, why this happened, and letting them, let most of it, more important, letting the children know not one ounce of it is their fault. Not one ounce of it is their fault. I didn't even think that was going to come out. Didn't know where that came from, but I really feel like that was needed, because the children need to know why this happened. We understand some things are too deep that you can't get into, but there is a level of explanation you can give that child as the man and as the father of that child.
Yes, and also for the fathers, you have rights. You have rights. I know a lot of times I had many fathers in the past talk to me. They feel so hopeless. But what I found out, oftentimes we're ignorant to our benefits because we don't research, we don't study. We're just so used to being told what our rights are instead of researching what our rights are.
Right.
They remind me of that song by the Mighty Clouds of Joy. It came out in 1980, I Made a Step. If you make one step, he'll make two.
Right.
But you have to do your part. And I found that God, right, not put anything in your hand, he'll put it within your reach. You got to get up, right, put in some work. And right, what I found out, a lot of times people, men, we don't do our homework, we don't read, we don't study, but oftentimes we just take what people give us. And we're not realizing it's going to affect us in the, not just in the long run, but in the short term, in the short run, in the long term, and in the short term. And not just affect us, but it's affecting our child. And if the father don't fight for his rights, oftentimes the child gonna feel like, well, was I worth fighting for? They gonna take
it right
themselves, like you mentioned. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're not, if you, if a child, every child wants to see that we're not excluding mothers. We just know that Father's Day is coming up and we wanted to talk about fathers tonight. A father, the children look to that father for just about everything when it comes to from protection and covering and safety. And that includes not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. That they look for that from their father. And like I was saying earlier, I truly believe that the entire family receives the identity from the father. When you take it all the way back to Adam and Eve, we know that we've always said the natural saying and the traditional saying, which is true, Eve is the mother of all living. She's the mother of all living. But all you got to do is take it one step back. God created the man. He pulled a rib out of the man and made a woman, which makes Adam first. All came from Adam, which means he's the father. If Eve is the mother, Adam is the father of all, because he was first. And the greatest lesson that God taught us in the book of Genesis is that when Adam and Eve got caught up in the sin, Adam blamed his wife and the wife blamed the devil. But if you notice, God is an orderly God. He went from Adam to Eve to the devil. And when it came time for judgment, God went right back in order. He went from he judged the devil. He went right back up the chain line, and then he judged Eve, and then he judged the man, because the man was first. And so, the children, the wife, our wives look up. They look to us. Our wives look to us. It's just natural. The scripture says that your desire shall be unto your husband and he shall rule over you. And a lot of women get that word rule mixed up with a rod of iron, a man ruling you with a rod of iron with his foot on top of you. That's not what that word rule means. That word rule just means he's first. God made him first. He's the CEO is what God made him. That's all that means. And that her desire shall be unto her husband. So I believe with all my heart that with this Father's Day coming up, that it should be definitely celebrated in every home. I know some people talk about pagan holidays, but the Bible tells us to take things back. We're supposed to redeem things. So I don't care what people call a pagan holiday. We take things back. We redeem things that the enemy meant for merchandise and to make money on that day. We turn that day around for the glory of God as we celebrate who God created first in the home, and that's the man.
Yes. And I'm going to share, Father, you know, we talk about mothers. We want to make sure that we acknowledge our mothers. But I want to be acknowledged too.
Amen.
You know, they may not look for the exact same material things as a mother, but deep within, as far as the emotional support or the emotional affirmation, whatever, we want that too. And I found out, no matter how old you are, as a father, if you have a living father yourself, you want to be accepted. You want to receive the blessing from your father, even if you are a father yourself. And I was this weekend, I got a chance to go to my father's hometown. And for me to be able to just be in the area that my daddy grew up in. It was beautiful. And so with that, like I said, there are a lot of guys who may not know how to handle a uncomfortable baby mama situation. That's what they call it. I got a crazy baby mama. Or I got this, got that. But you know what? You know, we can't cry over spilled milk. Yeah, hindsight 2020, we could have done things differently. But regardless of you chose her from a situation that you regret or whatever, I'm telling you, whatever situation that you're in, ask God to help you and give you the wisdom, the grace, and the skill to deal with it where you can be able to get your prayers answered.
Amen.
If you no situation that you handle is outside of God's care for you. And whatever it is, yes, to be honest with you, hey, you know, you look here. First of all, you got to accept who you're dealing with. Sometimes we're naive. Sometimes we, you know, kind of overlook. But you have to address and you have to assess and properly spiritually diagnose who you're dealing with. And if you can do that, then you have things to give to God. And I'm telling you, God can strategically give you the word or even to interpret or even to intervene. And it's like, as long as your heart is upright before God and God can speak through you and interpret to her, whatever it is, I'm telling you, God will make your enemies can be at peace with you. And like I said, you know, we've had guys to talk to us and everything. And yes, there's some situation we like, wow. But I'm telling you, that's a great opportunity for you to see God flex his muscles on your behalf.
Absolutely. That's a truth like no other. And we both are living witnesses of that. And I went through a court battle that was out of this world. I went through being persecuted and lied on and many things from my children's mother's side. And many people wanted me to respond and retaliate in a certain way, but only because I stayed in my place of worship. Only because I stayed in my place of worship. I couldn't have did it on my own. We can't do it on our own. Because I stayed in a place of worship, I was able to go through that situation, take the attack, hold my peace, only speak when God gave me to speak, and let God fight my battle. And God vindicated me totally in that situation. When my brother wanted me to retaliate a certain way, when my mother wanted me to retaliate a certain way, when friends and family wanted me to retaliate a certain way, I held my Holy Ghost composure. I didn't do it, only through the Holy Spirit, because of that place of worship that kept me in that place. There was something else I wanted to speak about just real quick. And as Brother Charles was talking, a lot of men, we don't feel like we can share our situations with somebody else. We don't know how to share our emotions about what we're going through with somebody else. But I'll tell you this, I can't quote the scripture verbatim, but there's a scripture about no other love does a man have, about brotherly love, giving his life for his brother. And when you can have a brother in Christ that you can reside in and release all of your weight, your burden, your hurt, your pain, your frustration, your anger, and you can release that. Now, we can release our anger. The men ain't got a problem going to another man and releasing their anger and talking about how mad they are and how angry they are. But it's hard for us to really, really talk about how we really feel. That part that for the lack of better words, it feels uncovered, for the lack of better words. You don't want to feel weak. You don't want to feel weak before a man. But I tell you, me and my brother Prater, have had some deep, deep conversations that was very much needed for one another. And that's what helped both of us get through the things that we've been through. It helped catapult us to the next chapter in our life. I just wanted to say that.
Yes. Thank you. I'm not gonna keep you long. And I often think about even in the journeys that we've shared, and one situation, on Sunday. Matter of fact, I don't want to go into specific pertaining to dates and everything. I remember those things, but one particular Sunday, I came by over there, and I ain't gonna lie to you, those that know me, I don't mind throwing myself under the bus. I don't mind being transparent. And I feel like that's one of the things that will help us to be able to be cleansed and detoxed if we be real and transparent with God and with ourselves. And one Sunday, I went over to your place. I called you to ask you if I could come back. I just needed to talk. And man, I ain't gonna lie, I was broken. I was very broken. And you listen, mm-hmm. You begin to pray. And I needed that. Dylan's daddy needed that. You know, and what I kept thinking about was I was seeing something. I couldn't make any sense of it. But now looking at it, what the devil meant for evil, God could turn it for our good.
Amen.
Even though that situation occurred, but it was so much that came out of that. And all that it took for me to do was for me to be able to be transparent to another man of God. And I tell people, we as men, we can't hold this stuff in. It's killing. Amen. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And so just in case you feel like you don't have anybody to talk to, fellas. Now, like I said, I know, you know, we can copy and paste and have this message for the men and the women. Yes. But I want to talk to the men, because we're losing too many guys with their lives or in the system. Sometimes we can go through so much and we can't control our composure. We end up doing things that we regret.
Absolutely.
So to the men, please, please, please. If you don't have anybody to talk to, I always tell people, hey, look here, we can talk. We're going to be real. But the most important thing we're going to do, we're going to pray. And for us to be able to just lean on each other and know that even though you might have gone through, but I'm telling you, if you really trust God and allow this situation to not define you, but refine you, I'm telling you, God can bring your youthfulness, your joy, your peace, and you won't have to look like what you went through. You won't have to feel like what you went through. But even the things that you've gone through, you can use that to encourage others. Mr. Richardson, even the things that you've gone through, and, you know, just me watching your life, not just from up close, but even way up there in the bleachers, this is adding more people to your ministry. This is giving you more tools for you to reach somebody that somebody else may not be able to reach. And mm-hmm. I found out God and his wisdom know how to orchestrate an encounter where we end up ministering to someone that's going through what we went through, and they looking at, what can I do? What, how can I handle that situation? And when they look at us, they're seeing the finished product, and they like, and God can really do that for me? Yes, he can.
Yes, now, he can.
Now, are you willing to allow me to walk with you? Because now you're not alone. And that's one of the things, like I said, I thank you. And even in my pursuit of different things, one thing about it, I knew I had some earthly support, but you always made sure to help us to understand that not only we have spiritual support, but we got earthly support. Because yes, God can help us. God can help us, yes. But also, God put people here on earth to help us, for us to be able to say, you know what, I'm hurt or whatever. So I just want to tell you, thank you so much. And whatever the Lord laid upon your heart to share with that person that's on your heart right now, I want to give you the right hand of fellowship and have you just take the floor to share.
I could not have said it better than what you just said. It's just not much left to say. I just want to say to all the men out there that are going through, maybe they don't have custody of their children, maybe they do, but just that they know that, number one, if they take the step, God will take two. And always, always, never feel like you're being weak or like you're not strong just because you have to go to another man and confide into another man and talk with another man about the situation. There's always somebody out there that God will lead you to that you can talk to and that can help you. You never know who's going to have that word, who's going to be able to give you that strength that you need. And I couldn't have said it any better than Brother Charles, than what Brother Charles Prater said. I would just say to all those men, keep your head up, stay strong, stay prayed up, and know that if God gave you the children, God will give you the withal on how to live your life and guide and protect and lead your children. That's it.
If you don't mind, do you mind leading us with a word of prayer?
Amen. Father God, first of all, we just thank you. We thank you, God, first of all, for this vessel and Brother Prater that you have so righteously raised up for such a time that we're living in these last days, Father. I thank you for how throughout the years I've seen you raise him up. I've seen the anointing on his life just leap by bounds, God, leaps and bounds. I've seen the anointing and the gifting that you've given him, God, in every arena through social media, God, and his book writings, God, his authorship, Father God, even his evangelism, God. I've seen how you've used him even in the singles ministry, God. Father, we thank you for this brother. We thank you for the ministry that you've placed in him, God. We pray that you will continue to strengthen him, continue to give him revelation, continue to use him for your glory. Continue, Father God, to let the anointing, God, just shine. Let your presence just saturate him. Father, we come together tonight and we agree for those men out there that may be wounded, that may be hurting. Father God, that somehow, some way, this message may reach them and that their heart may be touched. Father God, that they may know that they are the victor and not the victims in their situations, God. That you've called them to be the head of their homes, the head of their situations, even in situations where they're separated with the other spouse, but you still call them to lead out with those children. Father, I pray for their courage. I pray for their strength. Father God, I pray that you would just lift them up wherever they are in the mighty name of Jesus. Cover them, God. Let this be a blessed, wonderful Father's Day weekend that's coming up, God. I pray for every father, God, that feels beneath themselves, God. Father, let them gird themselves up. Speak to them in a mighty way. Lift them up in courage and might. Let the love of the children be shown to them in ways and expressed that they've never seen before. Father God, we pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. We pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Dr. Richardson, Swift Witness, for reaching out and sharing your heart and all I can say, I thank you. Do you have any CDs on you or books? Just in case y'all didn't hear him say earlier, he does have a CD out. He does have, but he wrote, he's an author also. So do you have any on you at this time?
I do. I have the first release CD was called The Fig Tree Project. We have copies of those. Then the second one was The Assignment. People can go to YouTube and type in Swift Witness, My Father's Business. That was the first video done in which Brother Charles Prater was in that video. Yeah. I think you were rolling the dice in that video. Wasn't you?
Yes,
I think you were rolling the dice. So that they can go. Yeah, I do have CDs. And I do have books. The book is entitled To Whom It May Concern, Dreams and Visions. Dreams and visions that have yet to come to pass. Some have come to pass. And I do have copies. People can reach me through YouTube. They can reach me through my email. You can feel free to give out the email, however they want to contact.
Okay. Also, I didn't get a chance to get everything situated, but next week, I want y'all to tune in and listen because I did get permission from him. I just want to make sure that I set it up. But there was a video that he created, a music video. He have several, but this particular one, it was entitled Thank You for My Babies. My goodness.
Wow.
Thank you for my baby. I will explain. I'll explain next week because this right here is so deep. But I want, like I said, I thank Mr. Richardson for your words of wisdom and even your testimony. And I want those that may be watching, fellas, don't give up. Don't give up. As long as there's breath in your body, as long as God wake you up and close you in your right mind, there's still a chance. Don't give up the fight. Make sure that you do right in the eyesight of God. Make sure you do your part. And also, even if there are some situation that's uncomfortable between you and the child's mother, think about who she is to your child versus who she was to you. Just look at it. Also, continue to just not just pray for your child, not just pray for yourself, but also even pray for her. Just pray for her. Pray for her because you never know. God may give you a word that may bring healing to her. God may give you a word to, you know, just stop, you know, resolve everything as co-parents. That's what I said, as co-parents. Because sometimes some people think, well, you know, I got to sleep with my child mother to get what I want. Mm-mm. No, you can still be a man of integrity. You can still be a man of integrity. And just remember, you don't want to do anything to your child's mother that you wouldn't want happen to your child.
Amen. Amen. Very well put. Very well said.
Yes,
very
sir.
Well said. I couldn't put it no better.
So, Mr. Richardson, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And also, once again, thank you for representing David W. Carter.
Thank you for having me, Charles. Thank you for having me.
It's my honor. Send love to your family. And I thank each and every one of y'all for tuning in to Reconnect My Heart. God bless you and good night.
All right.